This is the time of year when we remind you about how you can support this podcast by becoming a member of The Incomparable. You can sign up for a monthly or annual pledge to support this podcast directly. Here's what you do. Go to theincomparable.com/members and sign up. You'll then be asked to pick the shows on the network you'd like to support. If you just check the box for Friends in Your Ears, your entire contribution will come to me after a few fees are taken out. If you listen to other podcasts on the Incomparable Network, you can also check their boxes and your contribution will be shared equally by all of the shows you enjoy. As a thank you for supporting us, members receive lots of extras. There's exclusive bonus audio, a bootleg podcast where you can hear episodes of shows right after they've recorded without having to wait for the edited version to arrive. And this is the best bonus right there because I listen to the game show podcast bootleg as soon as it comes up, as well as the edited version, especially for shows like Low Definition. Hilarious. I adore it. But you also get a members-only community on Slack. Since this is pledge season, many of the shows on the network will be posting bonus episodes just for members. This year, I'll be giving my answers to the Friends in Your Ears questions. You can finally find out my first podcast, what got me to start recording, and what my favorite podcasts are. There are contribution levels at $5, $10, and $20 per month, and annual equivalents are available as well. And if you're already a member, it's easy to increase your pledge to a higher level and get some extra special goodies in return. So if you would like to support me, go to theincomparable.com/members to sign up. Thank you so much. Hello and welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two incredible people. I have with me Molly Woodstock and Renee Powers. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm so excited to have you both here. Molly, if you can introduce yourself and let everyone know where they can find you on the internet.
Of course. Can I just say at first how bold your intro is? Because there are so many plosives in the sentence you just said, and I'm just really impressed by you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Hats off to the pop filter on that one.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, my name is Molly Woodstock. I am a journalist and an inclusivity educator and a audio producer in Portland, Oregon. I make a podcast called Gender Reveal, which mostly consists of interviews with trans folks, although I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that soon, about what else it entails. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram under Molly Woodstock, on Twitter and Instagram under Gender Reveal, the name of my podcast, or on mollywoodstock.com or genderpodcast.com or patreon.com/gender.
Perfect. All right, Renee, what about you?
Hi, I'm Renee Powers. I'm the host of Feminist Book Club, the podcast, which is the companion listening experience to my company, which is the Feminist Book Club, a community-driven monthly subscription box that pairs feminist books with products from women and queer-owned businesses. You can find more information about all of it at feministbookclub.com. If you're looking for just the podcast, it's feministbookclub.com/podcast. And then Instagram is Feminist Book Club Box. Twitter is Feminist Book Club without the vowels in feminist. That's very confusing. I'm sure it will be in the show notes.
All links will be in the show notes. Don't worry too much.
And if you're interested in following me on Instagram, it's Belle Renee, BelleRenee. The French spelling. and it's mostly just pictures of my greyhound. And that's it.
Yeah, my Instagram is mostly my face and my cat, Rhubarb.
Yeah. I love it.
My greyhound is Rudy. So.
Oh, wow. So Rhubarb goes by Ruby. So Ruby yes. and Rudy could be like a duo of some
I
kind.
I love this idea.
This
like
is
a crime fight. Like they're a gender crime fighting duo.
Yes. I am here for it. All right. fan art creators, let's make this happen. I feel like this is a comic I would totally read.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
It'd be a really good like size disparity too, because Ruby's like 6 pounds so far because she's a kitten. So there'd be a lot of good things happening.
And Rudy's a greyhound, so he's like 45 feet tall and
like 10 pounds.
85 pounds, yeah.
Yeah. I'm on board with this. Should we keep doing the podcast or should we just switch to...
I know, it's really tempting to just kind of plan this out, but I guess people are here for Friends in Your Ears podcast. So I guess we can continue that and then maybe have this conversation after.
We can storyboard later, ladies.
Yes. Ooh, there we go. All right, but... back on track. We're talking about podcasts. Molly, how did you start listening to podcasts?
So I actually don't remember. I'm under 30, and I remember there being podcasts when I was in high school that I was listening to. I honestly think podcasts started maybe when I was in middle school, but I could just be totally imagining that. But I just don't remember a situation in which I wasn't listening to podcasts. I remember a situation where there weren't that many podcasts. It was like This American Life and its equivalent, and then just like Men Talking, which is sort of how it is today. But anyway, so I literally just don't remember not listening to podcasts, but I would assume that one of the first ones I listened to is This American Life, which I think is true of like virtually every single person that's ever listened to a podcast. Guilty. Short of Serial. Yeah.
All right, Renee, what about you?
Yeah, definitely. This American Life. Honestly, I also don't remember. It was so I was in college when the first iPod came out, and I wasn't lucky enough to have one until my senior year. But I think that soon thereafter, I discovered This American Life. My partner, we've been together since we were 20. He grew up listening to a lot of public radio and radio shows. His parents are from an older generation. And so I think he probably is the one that introduced me to like talk radio and NPR. And then soon after I started listening to This American Life, I discovered Stuff Mom Never Told You.
Yes.
And as a gender studies major, that was everything to me. Full circle, the original hosts of Stuff Mom Never Told You were some of my first guests on my podcast. And I kid you not, like, ugh, I was shitting my pants. It was such a fangirl moment. It is the most awkward interview because I was just like, oh my God, I love you guys so much. Like, your book is so great. Yeah.
That's so nice, though.
That's so amazing. I got to actually interview Merlin Mann, who is one of my first, like, podcast follower, like, where I really followed a host of a show, and I just like was the entire podcast I was just like, okay, I'm breathing, it's just Merlin Mann, it's just Merlin Mann, it's fine. So I completely understand exactly where you're going. Yeah.
And then I also had to be really awkward and like explain to them like how big of a deal it was for me, which they're like, what is this girl's problem? Like, we're never going to Minneapolis, which is where I live. I was like, but if you need, like, you know, if you ever wanted to come on a book tour, like, I know people, like, I'm sure they would.
Oh my goodness.
Like, we could do signings, like, you could stay here and, like, meet my dog and, like, hang out and, like, have drinks and be my best friend. It's totally fine.
Will you be my best friend? I feel like that is a very common, I don't know about either of you, but I am always like, I get a good vibe with people and then I'm like, hi, will you be my friend? Let's be friends. Let's go grocery shopping together. Let's go have a glass of wine. Do you want a cup of tea? Come hang out with me. Let's watch a movie. Yeah.
I'm a big proponent of friend crushes and just like letting people know when you have a major friend crush on them and then like actually following through. It's my favorite pastime.
I love that term, and that is now going to be a constant in my vocabulary. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about this, about parasocial relationships specifically, and how being a journalist or a podcaster can kind of lead you to experience like both sides of parasocial relationships at the same time. So parasocial relationships are when, for just for anyone who's listening who doesn't know, when one person is like knows a ton about someone and the other person doesn't know anything about that person. So for example, like any like crush on a celebrity would be a parasocial relationship, because like maybe I like have this huge crush and know everything about the celebrity, but the celebrity has never heard of me. So I feel like we experience both sides of that as journalists or podcasters, because on one hand there are people who maybe listen to our shows who feel like they know us really well because they hear our voices in their ears every single week and they like know a lot about us, whereas we're like, we've never, like, who are you? Like, I get people who listen to the show who hit me up and are like, I'm gonna be in Portland, do you want to get coffee? And I'm like, whomst are you?
Yes.
You know, but on the other hand, I think that I sort of kind of blur your time understanding like where the boundaries are between people we're interviewing, right? Because like, so
yeah,
like say I talk to someone for an hour on my podcast, I'm like, okay, well, that's not a parasocial relationship because we talked for an hour. But it super is, because before we talked for an hour, I spent an entire week researching them and looking at everything they'd ever said or like written, and they just talked to me for an hour, right? So it's like still very parasocial, but I've like somehow tricked myself into thinking it's fine and we should be friends. So that's something that I like try to keep an eye on for sure.
But I think that I love that you bring up this term. So by trade, I'm an academic, and parasocial relationship came up a lot in my studies. Mm-hmm. And I think you're onto something in that how podcasting is such a, I hesitate to use the word democratic medium, but it, the barrier to entry in podcasting is much lower than it is for other media. But it's because of that, it allows for quote unquote real human beings to amplify their own voices and amplify the voices of others, and especially other marginalized people. So it becomes a very easy way to reach out to people on both sides of the, you know, the microphone and the headphones. And it's a really intimate, intimate medium, which is one of the things that draws me to it and drew me to it very early on, is that you could be listening to somebody talk to you in public and nobody else knows. And that just feels like your own little secret, especially when I'm listening to things like my dad wrote a porno, or, you know, like the sexier ones, right? Like, haha, I'm listening to something about sex and you have no idea.
Yes. It's so,
yeah, I feel that way about food for thought a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ugh. All right. Well, now that let's move on to the next question. Let's keep this conversation going instead of, because otherwise I feel like we could spend, you know, 3 hours talking about parasocial relationships on top of the 3 hours of comics.
When we got started, you said, we're just going to see where this...
I know.
Take as long or as short as it needs to. I'm really ready to dive into like parasocial intimacy and communication theory and interpersonal communication. Like, let's just... No, I'm kidding.
Well, we could. You know, this is...
All the way back to the phrase friend crush, because as a queer person, I think I have a very different like relationship dynamic to that than y'all do. And so I'm just like, I'm ready. I'm here.
Oh, I would love to dive into that.
Okay.
All right. What's the question?
Next question. Molly, what made you want to actually start making a podcast? And what was your first podcast that you made?
Gotcha. So the reason I started making my first podcast, which was called Smash Everything, and it was a general social justice podcast that was, I don't want to say my podcast is highly produced, but it was much less highly produced than the one I have now. That started in April of 2016. And the way that it started was that I was having a conversation at work. I don't remember what exactly it was, but I know I was talking to like three straight cis women that I worked with, and I was explaining some sort of identity to them. I don't remember what sort of queer identity, but they were like, oh, what is this? And I'm like, oh, it's blah, 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 blah. And then one of the women was like, oh, I have a cousin who identifies as asexual. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm like also on the ace spectrum. And they're like, oh, what is that? And I'm like, well, it's blah, 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 blah. And I'm also vegan. And so I was like, well, you know, here's what they, people ask you why you're vegan. It's not vegans. Contrary to popular belief, vegans don't walk around and say, here's why I'm vegan. But people are always like, why are you vegan? And so they're like, why are you vegan? I'm like, well, blah, 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 blah. And I texted my best friend and I was like, wow, I'm so tired of like explaining the same thing to different people over and over and over again. I should just make a podcast so I can hand it to them. Ha 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 ha. And then like a pause. And then I was like, oh, wait, but I actually should make a podcast.
Joke's on you.
Yeah, so that was my first podcast. Can I quickly talk about how I started Gender Reveal also?
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%.
So it's very petty. The way that I started Gender Reveal specifically was I was at a conference for women in podcasting, and which shall remain nameless. There's no way you could ever guess. And I was coming from Portland. I was coming from like very queer spaces. I was coming from very trans spaces. I was coming from very leftist spaces. I was coming from very like attempting to be intersectional spaces. And I went to this conference and there was like no talk of intersectionality at all. There was no like acknowledgement that there are genders other than men and women. There was no like there was a very limited queerness, which is bizarre to me because the radio world is so queer in my experience. And yeah. I was just like having a really hard time, like feeling seen and feeling respected and feeling like I had a community. And when I was there, I was like, oh, I've been wanting to like create a more focused podcast, because having a podcast that's just about social justice is like so broad. And so I wanted to do a more focused thing. And maybe I should bring the conversations that I'm having about gender with other queer and trans people to a wider audience, because I found that straight cis people are very uncomfortable diving into like talks about gender and about trans people. And I understand their reluctance to dive in because you don't want to accidentally say something insensitive or like hurt someone. But as a result of that, there's like this real like bifurcation of like, there's this really, really good meme. And, it says, talking about gender with trans people, and it's a picture of like ancient philosophers. And then it says talking about gender with cis people, and it's like a child playing with blocks. And that's what I always cite as like creating gender veil is like, okay, we have like the people playing with blocks, and we have like the ancient philosophers, and we need to like get all these people in a room together, so that the people with the blocks can listen to the philosophers in a way that doesn't make them feel like too freaked out to actually engage with it. So that's how gender veil started.
That's amazing. I love that story. And I love how you came from a place of like positivity and hope for it. So yeah, you called it petty, but like, you're like, no, let me not just feel like you have to explain, like over explain, hold hands. The toddlers are going to be playing with blocks, but you're not treating them like they're infants. Like,
right.
They're old enough to play with those blocks. So, like, let's give them the blocks to play with. Let's not just give them. Yeah. All right, Renee, what about you? What made you want to actually start making a podcast? And what was the first podcast you made?
Okay, so I am an academic by trade. I mentioned I spent 6 years in a PhD program studying feminist theory and communication theory. And I was in a communication program that probably wasn't the right program for me. I proposed my dissertation 3 times and failed. And every time it centered around qualitative interviews as my method. And I'm very interested in interviewing as a method of producing knowledge. And I kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And finally I was like, Jesus at the temple flipping tables, like, fuck this. I'm out. I'm doing this on my own. and ended up with a podcast called Wild Cozy Truth, which was a podcast that talked to women broadly defined, either full-time or part-time, about their triumphs. And again, like Molly's, it was very broad. I was dabbling in a space of self-help and personal development and seeing if that was a route I wanted to go now that I was no longer in a PhD program and, you know, had nothing to do with my life. And I was always recommending books at the end, with my interviewees. And, I was sharing a lot at the beginning. It was kind of half of the episodes were, personal essays, and the other half of the episodes were the interviews. And it struck a chord and spoke to this love of blogging that I had. I was an early blogger before we even called it blogging. Like, we were on LiveJournal, yeah. We were on Sanga, Teen Open Diary, like RIP, all of them. And it scratched that itch of that community that I had been missing and sharing one's life in that way. But anyway, so I was recommending books all the time, and my listeners were like, Renee, just start a goddamn book club. I was like, well, I guess we'll give this a whirl, see what happens. And so the first podcast was from July 2017 to November 2018. I started what is now Feminist Book Club under the title Wild Cozy Truth Book Club and Women's Circle, which is the clunkiest name for anything. that began in February 2018, and I bought the domain feministbookclub.com in July of 2018. So as it stands now, Feminist Book Club has been around for to just under a year, but the podcast was rebranded in January as Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Wild Cozy Truth became a place of, instead of really emotional, really deep conversations about overcoming adversities. I mean, the first episodes had women struggling with undiagnosed endometriosis that was, you know, screwing with their attempts to get pregnant. There were women who had gone through several stillbirths. There were women who had lost parents. I interviewed my 70-something mother-in-law and her sister about her rheumatoid arthritis and growing up in the 60s and things like this. So they were really beautiful conversations, but the bigger it got, the more it became people just pitching things to me. So I would say, like, out of the last 20 episodes, 15 of those are people like trying to sell me something. And I was so over it. And I didn't, I mean, part of it is me. I didn't know how to say no. And so I just published my last few interviews and was like, okay, this is going to become something different in the new year. It's going to become more aligned with this Feminist Book Club brand that I'm building and I'm really passionate about. And I think it actually speaks to all of my expertise and the things that I've been wanting to do with my life since very early on. So why haven't I done it sooner? Well, I needed to go this route to get there. So yeah, that's why I started. That was my first podcast. And now I'll tell you what, like, I've only been doing the Feminist Book Club podcast for a little over 3 months now, and it really feels like home to me. It feels like this is what I've, everything kind of lined up to do this. And I get to interview badass people like the Stuff Mom Never Told You hosts and New York Times bestselling authors and smaller authors too, which are, I love being able to give a platform to, you know, independent authors and voices that aren't like my own. So
that's,
wow, that's a really long story.
No, that's amazing. Though you can just hear the passion for what you do in your voice. And also I find it very interesting that with Wild Cozy Truth you were talking about how people were just pitching you, and if anything you would think that, oh, Feminist Book Club, you're talking to authors, these are people that are going to be pitching their books on the thing. But because that's the purpose, talking to these authors, you already almost mentally have that space in your in your brain to be like, of course they're going to talk about the book that they wrote or the books that they're writing.
Yes, but they're also talking about so much more. And that's something that I've been very happily surprised by, is that it becomes, it might become about the book, like the stories in the book, the what the materials that they're covering in the book, but that's also their expertise. So I get to ask these people about what they know best. And it is like, I've got all these experts at my fingertips, even if they're memoirists and their expert is their life, but you know, they've written something incredible about it. I'm thinking especially of Rima Zaman, who was just on as we're recording this most recent episode. She wrote the memoir, I Am Yours. It is one of the most heart-wrenching memoirs I've ever read, and I'm a big memoir fan. And her interview was, she just like drops nuggets of wisdom like as if it were as easy as breathing. It is, she is the most beautiful speaker. She like speaks in prose. I don't know how this woman does it. She's incredible. Wow. Anyways, it's worth a listen. But I just learned so much from her, and I just felt so much from her that it's like, yeah, it's creating space to talk about a book that they're promoting, but it's also creating space to talk about the things I've always wanted to talk about anyways.
That's amazing. I love that passion that you feel and that you were able to recognize the journey that it took to get there. Because sometimes it can be so easy to get hard on ourselves. Oh, I failed at my PhD. Like, I don't have this, so my life is useless. You know, whereas being able to reframe it as, look, it taught me the skills that I need to really be successful at this. And that's good job. And not that you my approval or anything.
But I absolutely feed on validation. So thank you.
There we go. Good. Because I was like, wow, that sounded really condescending. So
no, please give me a gold star.
It's yours. The gold star is yours. So let's move on to the next question. What is currently playing on your podcast player of choice? So if you were to go in, we'll talk about favorite podcasts later. I want you to go, like, tell me what podcasts you were just listening to.
Yeah. So I was listening to a podcast called All Fantasy Everything. And I want to, before I explain what the podcast is, I just want to say that I seem to oscillate really wildly between only listening to prestige audio and only listening to like absolute trash garbage. And there's like absolutely no in between. It just depends like where my mental health is at or like, you know, where my anxiety is at. And so I'm in a trash garbage phase. And so I started listening to All Fantasy Everything, which is a podcast by Ian Carmel, who is a comedian who used to live in Portland and has since moved to LA to be the head writer of The Late Late Show. And he has, I think, 3 guests per episode. And most of those are a rotating cast of comics who are also from Portland originally and moved to LA. And so one thing I like about it is just that a lot of the references are references that I like immediately understand because they're very specific Portland jokes. Yes. And also they're like people who I've seen perform in real life in Portland, which is really nice. The premise of the show is that they're drafting a different thing each week as if it was a fantasy sports draft, but they could be drafting emojis. They could be drafting like favorite movie tropes. They could be drafting, what did I just listen to? The one I'm listening to right now is like things you can binge, which sounds like it would just be TV, but it's also like Easter candy, you know?
Ooh, so, yes.
You know, like skincare. And so I listened to that show. All the episodes are like 2 to 2.5 hours long, and it's just nonsense. They normally don't even start drafting until like an hour in. But when you need just something to play in the background so that your brain like calms down a little bit and like nothing is very high stakes, that's like a show that I would recommend. The other show that I like for that is Punch Up the Jam, which is they're both HeadGum podcasts, and there are a lot of crossover. So like Demi and Miel will come on All Fantasy Everything a lot. And all of the like reoccurring All Fantasy Everything hosts have come on Punch Up the Jam. So
I love Punch Up the Jam so much.
They're great. Demi's so like a human angel. Feel like a boy.
Yes. Adore him. Adore him. Renee, what podcast are you currently listening to?
I'm just looked it up. I am in the middle of an episode of Book Riot, the podcast. I thought that since I'm entering this bookish sphere, so the book community online is like huge and I didn't know how big it was, like book bloggers, book podcasts, book YouTubers, Bookstagram, like I wasn't aware of how big it was until I entered it and I was like, oh shit, I have some catching up to do here. And so Book Riot podcast is, Book Riot is a blog about the book industry and the publishing industry and all of like the and everything that I would even say like book culture, everything that goes into these conversations online. So for me, it is like they're funny too. The hosts are actually like, it's entertaining to listen to. It's not just information, but they cover all of the major stories of the week in online book sphere. It's interesting.
I love how you can listen to podcasts in your like industry niche. That's what's so great about podcasts and how easy it is to get into it. Like you're able to really embrace that whatever genre or industry that you're loving on, there's going to be a podcast that's going to be similar or something that you can get inspiration from, whether it's exactly the same or not. And I love that there's so many to choose from, even though it can get overwhelming and kind of depressing sometimes when you're like, oh, but that's my idea. Why did somebody take it? And being able to like, oh no, I'm going to embrace this and see it, like really enjoy it. I think that's very
it's all
amazing.
About the host and the approach.
Yes.
I mean, and that's, it goes back to podcasting as an intimate medium. Like you're going to identify with somebody over somebody else and those tastes are going to change over time. I've got a friend who runs another book subscription box and we are like, we call each other biz besties because even though we are direct competitors, there's so much that we can learn from one another and people come to her business for one reason and my business for another reason. And just because, I mean, isn't that what Shine Theory is? There's room at the top for all of us, you know, rising tides lift all boats, all those aphorisms that are kind of gag worthy, but also true.
Yes.
Yeah. I love Shine Theory.
I love it.
In fact, she came on the Wild Cozy Truth to talk about Shine Theory. And now that I think about it.
Right.
Amazing.
And all of those archives are still in our feed. We use the same feeds. I'm a big fan of like living histories and living archives. So if anybody's interested in our crappy old podcast.
obviously not crappy old if you are referencing it in a current conversation that you're having.
That's so fair. I mean, she was fantastic. Yeah. She is fantastic. That episode is excellent. All about Shine Theory.
Yes. Well, the great part is all of the links will be in the show notes, so you can follow along and find all of those great podcasts. And speaking of more great podcasts, Molly, what is your favorite podcast, parentheses, so feel free to talk about more than one, and why do you love it so much?
I was thinking about this, and it was hard because a lot of my favorite podcasts are sort of garbage and or like are very, very mainstream and like not interesting to talk about. Like Reply All is very good, but we don't need to talk about why Reply All is very good. Similarly, like the McElroy brothers, like The Adventure Zone is like very important to me. And also like we don't need to talk about The Adventure Zone. Although I will say that just in the past year, I like really understand like what escapism is. And I was like, I get it. Anyway, so my favorite podcast for this purpose is going to be The Heart, which is defunct, RIP, but Caitlin Press' show about just being like a queer person who makes out with people. I don't know. Have y'all listened to The Heart? That's
no.
not a good.
No.
Oh, okay. Then I won't call it a queer person who makes out with people. So The Heart,
I'm still interested in that. I don't understand.
The Heart is a podcast that started out as a podcast called Audio Smut, which is why I called it that, because in the past it was very much like a queer sort of smutty podcast. There's a lot of like recordings in which you can hear people making out. That's why I called it that.
Gotcha.
It evolved into something called The Heart, which was on Radiotopia. And gosh, I just really recommend that people go back and check it out. The feed's still up. Some of the last few episodes they put up before The Heart took an indefinite hiatus, like all just won Third Coast awards this last year. Phoebe Wang put out her first ever show called God in the Gaze, or episode called God in the Gaze, which was her going back to like a bunch of her Christian community from high school and college and talking to them about what it meant that she was gay and whether they could like still, you know, have her in community.
Right.
And like talking to her pastor, and it's amazing. Before that, Sharon Miss Sheehy's episode, I Am Good, is Sharon going on a cruise with her mom, who I think is Persian. Sorry if I messed that up, but and just sort of like grappling with like the gender roles that the mom expects versus who Sharon Miss Sheehy is. And there's also a really important series called the No Series, which was it was Caitlin like exploring times in her life where she wasn't asked for consent or her consent wasn't respected, and like what it means to say no and what it means to have your no like not be accepted. And that includes like her reenacting on tape like situations in which she was assaulted or taken advantage of in some way. It also includes her interviewing men who had assaulted her, like cross lines with her in some way. It also included her like interviewing other men in her life about like the ways that they interact with people. And so if you have like the stomach to listen to a show like that, because obviously like there should be a lot of content warnings around it, like that's when I like was really, really impressed and blown away by what The Heart was doing. And there are like years and years of back episodes, so people can check it out.
Wow, that great. I'm going to add another one to my very full subscription list.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, the good news is they're not adding any new episodes.
That's so true. That's true. So I will reach the end, which is always a bonus for that. Mm-hmm. I did want to talk about your idea of trash garbage shows, because their escapism is, I mean, it's so important. I have a lot of like television shows that are not high society television, and I watch them for escapism or for like that connection with something that is pointless and useless and a lot of terrible reality shows. And
totally, I got really into Riverdale. Like, yes. I totally, no, and I'm not saying that like people, like it's a guilty pleasure and people need to feel bad. It's just that like I have found in the past that I've gone on podcasts and people are like, what's your favorite podcast? And I'll like talk about the McElroys, and like the McElroys don't need to be hyped anymore, right?
No, it's like, very true.
Successful.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, what are like shows by like queer and trans people and people of color that I can talk about instead? So that's all I meant.
Yes.
It's not like,
okay,
we can't all.
Perfect. Because yeah, I have a very, like, I don't call my whatever guilty pleasure, as I call it, my dessert.
Because totally.
I could eat dessert every meal of the day, but I probably shouldn't. And it is nice to kind of add in other benefits into my world.
Totally.
Yes.
I'm so glad this conversation is happening, because as soon as you started talking, Molly, about these trash garbage shows, I was like, God, I'm so glad she's not using the phrase guilty pleasure, because that's such an icky phrase. And yes. It insinuates that we're supposed to feel bad about something or shameful about something because what, it's fluffy and entertaining. Like, frivolity is not a bad thing. It can be just as transgressive and subversive as anything else, but it kind of gets cast aside as this, oh, usually like ladies things, right? Like, yeah. Oh, those girls can go over there and watch Riverdale or listen to. And it's like, those can be just as important for a lot of the same reasons, a lot of different reasons, in that like they just make us feel good, or they calm us down, or it's something to keep us and keep in the background so we don't feel as fucking lonely. Like, what's wrong with that?
Yes.
Totally. And also, just to clarify, I am trans, so I don't use she, her pronouns, and I don't identify as a lady or a girl or whatever you said, just so you know.
Thank you for sharing that. And I meant to ask you earlier, and I appreciate you clarifying that now.
For sure.
Yes. All right, Renee, what about you?
So I do have a little list, and like we talked about earlier, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me doesn't need any more accolades, but mm-hmm. it is one of the shows that I was so excited to see live when I lived in mm-hmm. Chicago. Yeah. It was just like, and Mo Rocca was one of the panelists, and I am low-key obsessed with Mo Rocca, so I have to shout out his podcast as well, which is called Mobituaries, which is like making my life right now. It's all about the deaths that we didn't hear much about, things like television characters that were written off shows and never like came back and nobody knows why, or like Audrey Hepburn kind of left the limelight and nobody really talked about the last years of her life. So it's really interesting. Mobituaries, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, I'm kind of creating as one, but my favorite show is Unladylike, which is, again, the former hosts of Stuff Mom Never Told You moved on, left the corporate world, started working for themselves, and created the show called Unladylike, and it is fantastic. It's kind of as if, so Stuff Mom Never Told You was part of the How Stuff Works parent family, which used to be owned by the Discovery Channel. I don't know who owns it now, but it's very, from what I understand, there were a lot of rules and things they could not say.
Yeah.
And so now it's kind of like somebody gave them freedom to say whatever they want to say, and it is so good. In that same vein, Girl Boner Radio is hosted by a friend of mine, August McLaughlin, and I have to say, like, the name is not exactly right, but that's her brand, this Girl Boner brand. She's a health and sexuality writer, but it's not just about women getting off. She takes a very compassionate, broad approach to health, sex, and sexuality. And the gamut of sexuality topics that she covers on her show is fantastic. And I've been incredibly impressed. And she's been on my show a couple of times, too. I can't speak highly enough about Girl Boner Radio. The one that's giving me all of the giggles these days and making me actually laugh out loud is Scam Wow. I don't know if you folks are familiar with it at all. They're also in the Lady Pod Squad. So that's how I found them. And it's a relatively new show all about kind of the everyday scams people fall for, like normal educated people who shouldn't be falling for scams, who are falling for scams. Because the scams are that good. I would say start with the episode called The Government Won't Tell You to Get a Cab, about this like 30-something normal, educated, professional woman who found herself like on the phone with somebody claiming to be the U.S. Treasury Department, who wanted her to buy Apple gift cards as government vouchers because they found like it was. It's incredible. The depth of the scams that they cover. And there are two comedians, and so they're not like scam experts, but they're just obsessed with scams. And I think it's a really great show. And then the last one I have to shout out is a local podcaster here to Minneapolis, and we met just briefly at an event, and the show is called Human Journey with Phelan Oliver. Human is spelled H-U-E-M-A-N, and I've only listened to a couple of episodes. She's fairly new to this show, but she is a DJ, and so it's a really well-produced, really slick-sounding show, and the episodes are pretty long, and they cover a little bit of everything, and I'm really impressed with not only the production, but the intentionality and thought that goes behind each episode. She's a one-woman show, and it's just a really impressive all-encompassing show, like lifestyle show. I mean, up there with old Oprah episodes, you know, like
yeah,
Oprah in the late 90s covering a little bit of everything.
Wow.
With just like a fun flair. So and she's great. So those would be the five. What's your favorite show? Here's five.
Perfect. I had someone go through their entire queue, like all of the shows. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to let you go. You do you. That's great. That's totally fine. So five I can handle. I love it.
Yeah, I think I have like 80 something in there. So
yeah. This is perfect. It's a great mix of trash garbage and, you know, really philosophical.
It's such a hard word.
Such a hard word. Wow. And my brain was just like all over the place. So this is fantastic. I love all of these shows and I can't wait to add a couple to my large queue. But we're going to finish up, wrap up with a final bonus question. Are you both ready?
I'm so ready.
Before I ask that question, audience, if you have a question that you would like future guests to ask, feel free to use the hashtag on Twitter, F-I-Y-E bonus. That's fire! Bonus. And maybe you'll get read out on the podcast. But the question today comes from me, and it's a very serious question. What order do you brush your teeth in?
Wow.
I am making some assumptions that you do brush your teeth, but we're just going to go with that. I apologize for assuming.
You're suggesting that I have teeth. Yeah. Yes. I'm from Indiana. Like, what? That's a assumption.
All right. So we can count them like bottom right, bottom left, top right, top left, and then tell me that order. Or if you do it random. I don't know. So I do it in the same order every single night. And it's the way I've always done it. And it's bottom right, bottom left, top right.
Molly, are you also like brushing your teeth?
Yes.
Pantomiming right now?
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for asking. I absolutely am pantomime brushing my teeth. I'm so glad we're doing this together. Because I think I definitely go bottom left, bottom right. But then I don't know whether I continue in a circle and do top right, top left, or whether I like switch over to top left and top right. I'll find out tonight, but it'll be too late by then. But definitely bottom left, bottom right. And then from there, I guess it's just sort of a wild card experience.
Ooh, so you like to mix it up. Maybe sometimes you do the right side first and then sometimes you do the left side. All right. All right. What about you, Renee?
I think I'm a top.
So, should we talk about that? Or anyway,
so I think I start top left, and I think I go left, like all left, all right, and then front. I have kind of a snaggletooth in the front, and so I do have to spend a little bit. Like, I get to give that little guy a little extra love. And then I do the outside and then the inside.
Right. Do you do like all the left side on the outside, yeah,
and then all the right on the outside, and then the front. Got my little snuggles with dude.
Uh-huh.
And then the inside.
Oh, interesting. Molly, yeah. Do you do the inside and outside in the same like quadrant, or do you? This is a way more interesting question than I thought it would be.
We do the whole side at once, I think. But honestly, like, I don't know. Do you think I'm paying attention to this? I'm always listening to a podcast while I'm brushing my teeth or, like, looking at Twitter. Like, you think I'm alone with my brain for 2 minutes? I absolutely am not.
That's a very good point. The only reason – so this question came up because my daughter and I brush our teeth together, and she's 10, and so we've been doing it for a while, and so her electric toothbrush has the little beeps that tell you what to go to the new side. Uh-oh. And she was like, Mom, you do, like, we do the bottom on the same order, but then she goes, so I go bottom right, bottom left, top left, top right, and she goes bottom right, bottom left, top right, top left. And so we had this whole discussion about that, and so that's why this question came up.
Fascinating.
So interesting. But that's all we have time for, / those are all the questions that I have. Stay tuned for the after show. I'm just kidding. But all that's left is to thank my incredible guests, Molly and Renee. Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you, audience, for listening to this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter at Friends in Ears. You can find Molly at Molly Woodstock. Renee is at FMNST Book Club. And I am Mrs. Soup. Thank you again so much, and I hope you all have an amazing day.